I'll just have us look real quickly at my text verse here tonight. I'll begin reading to you just one verse, 1 Kings chapter number 21. We'll read our text verse at verse number 2 in just a moment. Now, when we consider the kings of Israel, Ahab tops the chart as the wickedest king in the history of God's chosen people. And the sad commentary is that much of the wicked deeds or much of the wicked works that Ahab engaged in can be accredited to the influence that his evil wife Jezebel had on his life. And in this particular chapter, we find them engaging in one of their most heinous crimes as they intruded into the life of an innocent man to take possession of what was rightfully his. And as I mentioned to you, I just want to read one verse, 1 Kings chapter number 21 and verse number 2. The Bible says, "And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is nearer to my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good unto thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money." Here in verse number 2, we find that the Bible says, "Give me thy vineyard." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I do thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for this pastor, Lord, and certainly this church, and Lord, their faithfulness to you, Lord God, over the years and their testimony. God, thank you for how you've blessed, Lord God. And I pray that this night would be no different. Lord, I need you. God, I pray and ask that you would forgive me of my sins and thoughts, words, and deeds. Heavenly Father, I ask you, give me thy Holy Spirit. Dear God, fill me, anoint me afresh, strengthen me, help me to boldly, lovingly declare what thus saith the Lord. God, I pray that tonight our hearts would be good ground for thee, Lord, and that your word would fall on it, dear God, and that we would keep in it, bring forth fruit in our very lives. Lord, have your will and way. Help us, we pray in your name. Amen. "Give me thy vineyard" was the selfish demand of the wicked King Ahab. And on the receiving end of this sinful request was a man by the name of Naboth. Up until this point, Naboth was pretty much an unknown man. That is, until the day King Ahab set his affections on Naboth's vineyard. Now, this man Naboth was a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Issachar. And no doubt, this man Naboth had inherited a portion of land, which was his vineyard. But ironically enough, this vineyard was located right next to the palace of the wicked King Ahab. And obviously, Ahab had no problem asking this man Naboth to give him his vineyard, even to the point that he approached Naboth and said, "Hey, you can either trade me this vineyard or you can sell it to me." But with regard for Almighty God, this man, Naboth, refused to obey the king. He chose, rather, to obey God. And it's my challenge or my desire that this message tonight would be used in your life and my life to challenge you to take a stand in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ after the example of Naboth. Now, as we take a closer look at this particular passage, I want you to notice, first of all, the desire of Ahab. The desire of Ahab, look with me again at verse number 2. The Bible says, "And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is nearer to my house, and I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money." Here we find that this king who could have had anything he wanted, here we find this wicked king Ahab approached this man Naboth and desired his vineyard. In no uncertain terms, Ahab asked Naboth to either trade him his vineyard for one better or to sell it to him for money. He covetously desired Naboth's vineyard. Now, as we think about the desire of Ahab, I'm going somewhere with this. I want you to notice two things. Number one, notice Naboth's refusal. Church, if you don't get nothing else I say tonight, get what we find in verse number 3 as Naboth responds to Ahab's desire. And verse 3, the Bible says, "And Naboth said to Ahab, 'The Lord forbid it me that I should give thee the inheritance of my fathers unto thee.'" In no uncertain terms, this man, Naboth, refused to either trade or sell his vineyard to Ahab. Now you might say, well, why did he do that? For the longest of time, I thought it was simply because it was the inheritance of his fathers. And truly it was, but it goes deeper than that. Can I tell you? The reason Naboth refused to give Ahab his vineyard was in obedience to the word of Almighty God. Can I show you that from the Bible? Turn with me to Leviticus chapter number 25. In Leviticus chapter number 25, look with me at verse number 23. Naboth's refusal. The Bible says in Leviticus 25 and 23, the land shall not be what? What's that next word? So some of y'all got to catch up now. I heard about one or two of you. Now, y'all getting rushed in your Bible turning. Already, I can tell that. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus 25, verse number 23. Now, let me stop for a small commercial break because I need y'all to help me. Now, the young people know this. I'm one of them talkback preachers. So if I ask you a question, and it might be a simple fill-in-the-blank question, if you know the answer, shout it out. Let's try this again, because I don't want to get to the end of this message and y'all just getting on board with what I'm saying. Let's try it again. We're talking about Naboth's refusal in response to Ahab's desire. And in Leviticus chapter number 25, again, at verse number 23, the Bible says, the land shall not be what? So, amen, church. You had an F the first time, but put an A right next to your paper, especially that young person right there who hollered out, so. The Bible says, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers, and sojourners with me. Here we find that long before Ahab ever confronted Naboth about his vineyard, God had commanded his people not to sell the land. It's not for sale. And in response to Ahab's desire, this man Naboth said, the Lord forbid me that I should give thee the inheritance of my fathers. In other words, you think that it's not for sale. Verse number 7 together, concerning again Naboth's refusal. The Bible says, so shall not the what?
Inheritance.
Amen, church. This right side over here, my right, your left doing good. Y'all need to catch up on this side. So shall not the inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe, for every one of the children of Israel shall keep himself to the what? Inheritance of the tribe of his people. So hear me now, not only do we find out that God commanded his people not to sell the land, God said, hey, I don't even want you to trade it from tribe to tribe. And as I think about this man, Naboth, can I tell you what I understand? This man had biblical conviction. You know what we need in this day in which we live? God's people have biblical conviction. Hey, I didn't say personal preference. I said biblical conviction. And the only way you and I are going to have a conviction we ought to have is if we get this book in our heart. Can I tell you, by and large, I don't know you, but if the shoe fit, wear it. Can I tell you why Christians are not standing like they should today? We ain't spending no time in the Word of God. Hey, we don't have the convictions we ought to have. We're folding. We're giving up. Hey, we're letting the flesh and the world take the fight to us instead of us trying to please God.
confusion. I want you to notice the second thing after we turn back to 1 Kings 21. Not only do we see Naboth confusion, number two, notice Ahab's displeasure. In 1 Kings chapter 21, let's look at verse number four together. The Bible says, and Ahab came into his house heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. Somebody said that this man Ahab pouted like a baby. Ahab got upset to the point where he wouldn't even eat. This is the king of Israel. He could have had anything. But he's upset because this man Naboth refused to give in to his wicked demand. And the Bible said he went home heavy and displeased. Lay on his bed with his thumb in his mouth. Pouting like a baby. Because this man Naboth wouldn't disobey God to please him. Now you might be saying, well, what does this have to do with us in this day and age in which we live? Can I tell you? There are people like Ahab all over the world. Some of them in the White House. And I don't know what to say. Some of them in the Supreme Court justice or whatever. Politicians. Hey, sad to say, some of them in church. And they are approaching you in a very subtle way, trying to get you to trade or sell your inheritance. I think about the public school system. And I don't know whether some of our young people are in the public schools or not. But in the public school system, there are professors or teachers who are teaching, hear me now, evolution. Not creation. They're trying to convince young people to trade, or should I say, sell the truth concerning the creation of this world to believe a lie that we evolved from nothing. I don't know about you, but the last time I checked, if I ain't got no money in this pocket and I ain't got no money in that pocket, I don't care how hard I'm banging together. Nothing plus nothing equals nothing. And now I understand that I'm a large black man, but can I tell you, I didn't come from no monkeys. The Bible says in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And I don't know who I'm talking to, if anybody, but don't you trade the truth for a lie. We got all these different versions of the Bible, if you will, coming down the tunnel. And they say, hey, do away with that king, that old King James Bible, and get you an NIV. Get you a New World Translation. Get you an ESV. Hey, get the new King James. Hey, hogwash. We have the Word of God and the King James Bible for English-speaking people, and we need not trade it or sell it. Somebody help me now. Somebody help me now. There's too many of us in here for me to be up here lonely. Somebody help me now. Hey, can I tell you? There are people, sometimes in the church, who would rather have us trade away good godly music for some honky-tonk and rock and roll. There are churches where, you see all them hymns y'all sung tonight? Them good God bless Christ under him? There are churches that put up in the book for some other stuff. They done gave away their inheritance. Those very hymns that we sang, they've been passed down from generation to generation. And we ought to fight to hold on to them. We ought to fight to hold on to what God has given us. Can I talk to young people for a minute? I want to be gross. I know there's some real young people here, some juniors, if you will. Young people, we live in a world where people want you to trade or sell your purity. Come on now. Come on now. I'm not some dinosaur or somebody who's been living on the rock all my life. Our young people are being bombarded security. Can I tell you? Don't give it up. Don't sell out. Hold on to what God has given you. And if it wasn't a lot of young people here, I'd go a little further with that, but I'm going to hold off right there. You parents, you talk to them at home. If they say, what was Brother Owens talking about? You can go into that. But number one, we see the desire of Ahab. I want you to notice the second thing, the devise of Jezebel. This woman, that Jezebel, devised a wicked plan to take Naboth's vineyard. Many people believe, and I do too, that she was no doubt the wickedest woman in all of the Bible. I'm going to go back in the day for a little bit. I hope y'all can handle this. But this woman, Jezebel, was a man eater. How many of y'all remember that song? Oh, here she come. Watch out for she'll chew you up. Oh, here she come. She's a man eater. That was Jezebel. Hey, and knowing something, this woman was a prophet killer. She hated God and anybody who represented God. And she killed God's men. And here we find her concocting this wicked plan. We see her devise to take Naboth's vineyard, that old sorry husband Ahab may have it. There are two things as we think about the devise of Jezebel. Number one, notice she spoke with Ahab about his disposition. In 1 Kings chapter 21, look with me at verse number 5 and following. The Bible says, but Jezebel, his wife came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? In other words, she said, what's wrong with you? Why are you acting so? In verse number 6, and he said unto her, because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. So Ahab responds, hey, I asked this man Naboth to give me his vineyard, and he wouldn't do it. Listen to what Jezebel said in verse number 7. The Bible says, and Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? In other words, are you the king? Arise and eat bread and let thine heart be merry. Listen to the promise she made. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite. We see the devise of Jezebel. Number one, she spoke with Naboth about his disposition. Number two, she sent out letters ordering Naboth's death. Look at verse number 8 and following. The Bible says, so she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and to the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast. Set Naboth on high among the people. In other words, put him on trial and set two men, sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou didst blaspheme God and the king. And then carry him out and stone him that he might die. Jezebel ordered the death of this man Naboth. In other words, she forged her husband's signature. And her desire and her approach or plan to have Naboth's vineyard for her husband. The commentator Matthew Henry said this. He said, never were more wicked orders given by any prince than those Jezebel sent to the rulers of Jezreel. And here again, you might be saying, well, what does this have to do with us? Now, if you back up in your mind, if you will, remember, Ahab took a more passive approach. He said, trade it or sell it. But this woman, Jezebel, was more dominant. She took a more aggressive approach. And I'm telling you that there are people in this day and age in which we live who are trying to take what God has given us. They want to take away our inheritance. They want to take our vineyard. You say, do you have a few examples for us? Sure I do. How about the institution of marriage? Last time I checked, and I'm no Greek or Hebrew scholar, but last time I checked, when I look in the book of Genesis, the Bible teaches me that God made Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, or Eve and Evelyn. Did y'all get that? God did not make a man for a man or a woman for a woman. Yet we live in a day and age where people are trying to convince us that that's right. It's not right. It's not right. is not right. And we need God's people to take a stand in obedience to Christ. If God says it's an abomination, hear me now, it's an abomination. I don't care who doing it. You say, well, President Obama said it's okay. I don't know about you. But the Bible says let God be true, but every man a lie. I don't care what he said. If God said it's sin, then it's sin. But you know what I'm realizing? You know what I'm realizing? I'm realizing that a lot of Christians don't believe the Bible like you say they do. You know why? Because when somebody stand up and get to preaching the Bible, some of us get offended at it. Come on, help me now. The institution of marriage. But it doesn't stop there. What about God himself? What about our religious freedom? Don't you know that the day you got saved, not only do we belong to God, but God belongs to us. He's our heritage. He is. And I was just happened to be watching the news the other day, and there was this president of some atheist society or what have you, and they're fighting to put up atheist monuments. There's this symbol. I don't know a whole lot about it. I just saw the news clip. There's an A, and it got like, looked like an orbit around it or something like that. Many of you may know way more about that than me. Maybe you don't. I don't know. But where there are places where the Ten Commandments are set up, they're fighting to have their atheist monuments set up. Hey, there are people that's trying to convince them that God doesn't even exist. Doesn't stop there. I appreciate it, brother. That showed what I was after, something. Doesn't stop there. Our beloved America, that your young people so graciously sung about here tonight, she's under attack. Hey, there are people fighting one time about taking God out of the pledge. They don't want God in the school. Don't pray. Don't read the Bible. And I don't mean no offense by this, and I'm not being hateful, but the Muslims are trying to take over.
That's right.
Hey, our beloved America is under attack, and there are people trying to concoct ways to take it from us. Number one, the desire of Ahab. Number two, the devise of Jezebel. Number three, notice the death of Naboth. Literally at verse number 11 and following. I'm hurrying up. The Bible says, and the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, yes, and as it was written in the letters which he had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast and set Naboth on high among the people, and there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him, and the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city and stoned him with stones that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. As we think about the death of Naboth, understand what took place. Of course, we know that Jezebel ordered these men to do this. They set Naboth up. They accused him of blaspheming God and the king. And they stoned him to death. In Acts chapter number 7, there's another man who died a very similar death for taking a stance for the cause of Christ. A man by the name of Stephen, dragged out of the city and stoned to death because of the stance he took for the cause of Christ. You say, brother, what are you trying to say to us? I'm trying to tell you that taking a stance in obedience to the Lord Jesus, it may cost us something. It may cost us something. Hey, we're not at some picnic at the park. We're in a real spiritual war. And the flesh, the devil in the world, hate God. And anybody that represents God. And we may not see it here in America, but can I tell you, there are Christians all over this world who are suffering great persecution because of their stance for the cause of Christ.
I took a trip to Africa last September, and I was sitting around with some older men of the faith, and the stories that they were able to tell me of the sufferings that God's people has had to endure in some of what we call third world countries. He talked about this one man who the Lord led to plant a church in this village where obviously the people didn't want him there. And they tried, first and foremost, by confronting him to drive him out, and he wouldn't leave. And the story goes that one day, his little seven-year-old son was riding a bicycle out in the village, and they took him and chopped his head off and sat his head on daddy's front doorstep. But can I tell you, that man didn't back down. That man continued to serve the Lord. I'm trying to tell you, church, that taking a stance in obedience to Christ will cost us something. It will cost us something. And notice what happened after the death of Naboth. Look at verse 15 and 16. The Bible says, and it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. I don't know about you, but at this point, this is a sad story. And it seems like Ahab and Jezebel has gotten away with their wickedness. But I'm reminded of what the old folk used to say when I was growing up. We have a God who sits high and look low. And the Bible tells us in Galatians that a man will reap what he sows. Which brings me to my fourth and final point. Number one, we remember the desire of Ahab. Number two, the devise of Jezebel. Number three, the death of Naboth. Number four, notice the declaration of Elijah. In verse number 17, the Bible says, and the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth, whether he is gone down to possess it. Here we find that the Lord sent the prophet Elijah to go and declare judgment upon Ahab and Jezebel because of their wickedness. There are two things I'd like to give you as we think about the declaration of Elijah. Number one, notice Elijah declared judgment, God's judgment on Ahab. Look at verse number 19. The Bible says, and thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Naboth, shall dogs lick thy blood, even thine. Verse 20. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will make thine house like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah, for the provocation wherewith thou hast provoked me to anger and made Israel to sin. Elijah is declaring God's judgment, and the first thing he told Ahab is that the same way the dogs lick Naboth's blood is the same way the dogs don't lick your blood. Now, I won't have you to turn there, but if you're taking notes, the Bible tells us in 1 Kings chapter number 22 that all that God declared to Ahab came to pass. There was a time, years later, no doubt, where Ahab tried to disguise himself and he went out to battle. But can I tell you, God knew exactly where he was. And as Ahab was riding on this chariot, an arrow struck Ahab in the chest and he began to bleed, and eventually he died. And his blood ran upon this chariot. And when they took this chariot and began to clean off this chariot, his blood ran into the pool of Samaria. And can I tell you what happened? The dogs came and licked Ahab's blood. The same way that the dog licked Naboth's blood is the same way that the dogs licked Ahab's blood. But it didn't stop there. In 2 Kings chapter number 10, won't have it turned there again for the sake of time, Ahab had 70 sons. Can I tell you what happened to his sons? They were all killed. They were all killed. Why? Because of God's judgment on their daddy. And here we find again in 1 Kings chapter 21 that Elijah
declared God's judgment upon Ahab. But not only did he declare God's judgment on Ahab, number two, he declared God's judgment on Jezebel. Look at verse number 23. The Bible says, and of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. I won't have you to turn there, but in 2 Kings chapter number 9, we see the fulfillment of God's judgment. Jezebel was up on the wall, and of course Jehu came to town and said, who's on my side? And there were two eunuchs, and those men came, and they took Jezebel, and they threw her from the wall. She fell to her death. Her blood splattered against the wall. And the dogs ate her flesh. And all that was left was her skull, the palm of her hand, and her feet. And the same way the dogs licked Naboth's blood is the same way the dog licked Jezebel's blood. You say, brother, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say the same thing that R.G. Lee said many years ago. Payday, someday. You and I ought to be encouraged as born-again believers to take a stand in obedience to Christ and understand that even though we might be mistreated for the cause of Christ, God will punish our enemies for mistreating us. I don't know about you, but I'm encouraged at that thought. I'm encouraged at the thought of my God taking up my slack. Though I might be mistreated for my obedience to Christ, God will deal with him. God will deal with him. And church, it's real simple. Let us learn. Let us learn from Naboth's example and stand in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I do thank you for this time. And God, I pray that in spite of me, you've spoken to the hearts of this thy people. And God, I pray and ask you to help us, Lord God. Help us to take courage, Lord. Help us to have the biblical convictions, Lord, we ought to have. Help us, Lord God, to not just be hearers but doers of your word. God, help us to stand in obedience to you after the example of Naboth. And I know, Lord God, as I think about the testimony of this church, that there have been people throughout the years who have stood. Obviously, this pastor and his family has stood. Obviously, there have been faithful men and women that have come alongside him and stood. God, I pray and ask you to help us now to not be weary in well-doing. God, I pray and ask you to grant us even a new beginning, Lord God, and help us, Lord, to take the stand in obedience unto thee. God, I pray if there's anybody here that does not know your son, the Lord Jesus, that this would be the day of their salvation, dear God, before it's eternally too late. God, help us respond as the pastor comes and extends the invitation. Pastor Blaylock.
Our Heavenly Father, we do surrender all, and thank you, dear God, for reminding us through your servant tonight that we are again in a spiritual war, and we are called to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. May we be engaged. And I pray, Father, that as we've been encouraged tonight, we'll walk out of these doors not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, recognizing that there was a man named Paul who was imprisoned and who said that there were so many in Asia and others that were ashamed of his chains. And we know that in our society, it's becoming more and more difficult for Christians to take a stand without the stigma. But may we not be ashamed of Paul's chains. May we not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. May we take a stand and be faithful and make a difference in this country, in this society, and in the world through missions. Thank you for the Duhars. Protect them, Father, as they travel. Meet their needs, God. Continue to bless them. Protect them, Lord, from the obvious attacks and fiery darts they receive for preaching such true and honest messages. We'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Glad you're saved. Amen. Glad you came tonight. Amen. Brother Duhart, thank you, brother. God bless you.